welcome along to The Assist, sponsored as ever by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and alongside me again this week are the returning Mark Langdon and Dan Childs. It's a crucial round of fixtures, of course, in the Premier League before the November international break. And the last game before the weekend concludes will be arguably the biggest of the weekend, because Chelsea welcome Arsenal to Stamford Bridge in a game which has big implications, of course, for both sides. It is the match in focus Sunday at 4:30 at the Bridge. And in terms of the prices, well, the home team are 15-8 to collect the victory. It's 6-4 Arsenal and 12-5 the draw. Mark, we'll start with you. And we have to focus on Arsenal primarily, because we said last week, were they wobbling when we were looking at the Champions League, or had the wheels fallen off? What's your thoughts now following the Inter Milan defeat?
Yeah, so I think the Inter defeat in isolation is, you know, it's okay. It's not going to harm them too much in terms of their ambitions in finishing in the top eight. You know, you can lose 1-0 away to Inter. You can be in good form and that can still happen. I thought the penalty decision against them was harsh. They are given a lot more in the Champions League than they would be in the Premier League. Champions League sort of proximity doesn't really come into it. But I suppose it's on the back of that and the defeat at Newcastle and, you know, some of the other wobbles, the Bournemouth game and you know, expectations were high at the start of the season that Arsenal could push Man City closest if it was to be kind of, you know, not City's title. And the problem is that City are slipping up and Arsenal have been even worse. So I don't sort of see this as an absolute crisis time for Arsenal just yet. They've had a lot of tough games. I mean, you have a look at even like last week, Newcastle away is a game you can lose. Inter's a game you can lose, but it's just that they're all kind of coming together. So if I was an Arsenal fan, I wouldn't be panicking just yet, but maybe the shoots of recovery are there, because Odegaard came off the bench, didn't he, for the final few minutes at San Siro, but they've desperately missed his creativity. That's sort of something that I think has really sort of come to the fore, really, is just how few chances they're creating from open play at the moment.
Dan, do you think the fact that City are obviously in a bit of a rut themselves at the moment makes it even more concerning for Arsenal fans of this current run of form that they are missing out on the opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the City rut, I'll just point out, I think they were 30 games unbeaten in the Premier League and then lost at Bournemouth. So, I mean, if that's a rut, I mean, I wouldn't mind being supporting a team going through that kind of rut. But, I think for Arsenal, I think they're, Mark's mentioned it there with Odegaard. I think their big improvement is probably going to start to come after the international break. You wonder, he's had a few minutes against Inter. Is he going to be ready to start or play at his best for the weekend? That would be a concern for me. While the games have been tight that they've been losing them, they have been losing them. And that does affect your confidence as a team. The Bournemouth game, you think back, they had the excuses with the sending off there, affected them. They weren't playing that well before the sending off, I have to say. The Newcastle game created very little. The Inter game, they seemed to do their best after falling behind. They weren't creating a great deal before then and didn't absolutely pepper the goal afterwards. So I just think cumulatively, when you're losing three games in a short space of time, a little bit like City for a big club, it can have a massive impact on the mood of the club and makes it more likely, I think, that, you know, in the short term at least, there could be more bad results to come.
Yeah, of course, there's been big news off the pitch this week, Mark, as well, with the announced departure of Edu. I mean, just what sort of an indent does that have in terms of a club that's struggling for confidence at the minute, as Dan says?
I think it was interesting. It came out of nowhere, didn't it, really? It felt like Edu, Arteta, the board were all kind of in unison, working together, you know, good relationships. And it might be nothing. It's just one of them things that Edu wants to do something else. But I think, Pep Guardiola could leave Manchester City in the summer. Amorim was supposed to be one of those that was sort of, being thought of or spoken about as becoming the next manager. He's obviously gone to Manchester United. Xabi Alonso, I mean, I was in Madrid earlier this week. I think they'd be confident of getting him if Carlo Ancelotti left. And so you're looking around, Mikel Arteta could become a big runner for that City job if, you know, as long as the wheels don't completely come off Arsenal. You just wonder if it's sort of it could be unsettling, I would say, Edu's departure. There is a flip side to that, and say that maybe some of the signings haven't worked out. I'm thinking Gabriel Jesus, I'm thinking Zinchenko. You look around and you start to question, you know, even someone like Raheem Sterling, who came in right at the end of the transfer window. I mean, he barely played, does he? He didn't come off the bench, you know, when they've been chasing goals in recent games. So I wouldn't have thought that it's sort of down to performance, but it just felt like such a tight unit at Arsenal at the start of the season. Everybody was pulling in the same direction. Edu's going, results have just dipped slightly. Yeah, it'd be interesting kind of, I think, few weeks ahead for Arsenal, because if they lose this one before the international break, everything gets heightened, doesn't it, around the international break. It's just the worst time to lose a big game because just nothing to talk about for 2 weeks. So you just sort of go over every last bit. So I think this is a really big test for Arsenal against the Chelsea side. You know, that came into the season with less expected of them, but are matching Arsenal sort of stride for stride so far in the Premier League. I think they've had an easier run of fixtures, but, you know, they've still got sort of same amount of points on the board.
We'll get your best bets, guys, in a moment. Just wanted to touch upon Chelsea very quickly, Dan, because there was talk, granted by maybe some of a Chelsea persuasion, that were they involved in the title race themselves? And I think quite a few people were a bit disappointed with their display at Man United.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the you know, that question, are they in the title race? A lot of it may depend on how the other big runners do. I mean, we've just mentioned about, you know, Arsenal going through a bad patch, City going through a bad patch at the moment, and injuries to key players. If Liverpool, you know, have a poor run as well, all of a sudden you'd be looking at that, what total it's going to take to win the league. And it could bring a team, an improver like Chelsea into the reckoning. I don't think personally at the moment they're quite ready to challenge for the title. And as you said, Warren, the game at United away at the moment is a game that teams going for the title are going to look at and say, we need to go and win here. And I thought 1-1 was a fair result.
Mark, let's start off with you then. What are you looking at in terms of your best bet for Chelsea-Arsenal?
Well, we saw Chelsea involved in a sort of draw in their last game on sort of the headline act, wasn't it? 4:30 on the Sunday. I think it'll be same again. I think the draw's where the value is for this game. Chelsea still haven't taken a big scalp in the Premier League yet. They lost against City, lost against Liverpool. I know United are not a big scalp in sort of the ability terms, but I still think you know, you need to show some minerals to go to Old Trafford and win, and they weren't able to do that. They're getting quite a lot of respect from the bookmakers. It's just hard to fancy Arsenal at the moment. It's all just a bit of a slog for them, particularly away from home, not scoring goals, more blanks against Inter in midweek, and Inter were much changed as well. It was by no means a full strength Inter. They've got Napoli at the weekend, so not a great result for them. Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to keep it tight again, and maybe Chelsea struggled to break them down.
Dan, what's your thinking here?
I like the look of that Chelsea price. I mean, you look at, you know, Arsenal won, you know, Premier League games, sorry, lost Premier League games recently at Bournemouth and at Newcastle. I think Chelsea away, you could argue, is tougher than either of those two. Chelsea, for me, are carrying more of a threat at the moment in attack. I mean, Cole Palmer came off, didn't he, at Man United? You'd like to know that he's going to be fit and raring to go. But their preparation, I think, is better as well. Although they're playing at home to an Armenian team, Noah, on Thursday night. But I don't think that's going to affect their prep too much. Arsenal have had to go to Inter. You know, that's not ideal in a week when they've got such a big game at the end of it. So Chelsea, to me, look a bit overpriced.
OK, well, that is the big match of the week in the Premier League. Time now to look at the rest of the remaining fixtures. And we'll start off on Saturday. No lunchtime kickoff with European action, of course, this week, meaning that the 3 o'clock get us underway. And we'll start off with a clash between Brentford and Bournemouth. Brentford 6-4 to claim the victory. It's 17-10 Bournemouth and the draw 13-5. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Brentford, I have to say, at the start of the season, I feared for them. But more and more I see of them, the more I actually like it. I think they were a little bit, obviously, fortunate probably to be in front against Fulham, then suffered that late defeat. I just wonder how that might impact on them going into this one.
Yeah, I think it will affect them actually, Warren. I think Brentford will be okay this season. They've got, you know, taken a lot of early points at home. That's going to stand them in good stead. But I'm looking at the fixtures that they've been winning at home: Palace, Southampton, Wolves, Ipswich. You know, they've had a real good run of fixtures at home, and they've done well in them. But there have been some downsides, you know, in there. The three goals they conceded against Ipswich, three goals they conceded against Wolves. To me, that's a little bit of a worry, and suggests that maybe this great home form is not going to necessarily continue, you know, over the rest of the season. Bournemouth, you know, they mentioned the win against Arsenal, the win against Manchester City. A lot of the time, the temptation is that people criticise Arsenal and the big club after those matches, but you've got to give Bournemouth some credit to win those two massive games. They're, you know, they've been really impressive this season, and that price. Brentford's home form, I understand it looks eye-catching, but as I mentioned, none of them teams they've beaten, for me, are as good as Bournemouth. Bournemouth, for me, look overpriced.
I'll give you some credit here, Mark, because last season you said Iraola was one to watch in terms of the Bournemouth manager's role, and he's certainly got them playing in the way that he wants to now.
Yeah, he's a very, very good coach. I think whether he's got the personality to, say, manage a Man City would be the question mark. I think ability-wise, he could go and do a job for you know, somebody like City or, you know, another team in top four, top six. He's, you know, Bournemouth have got a good one there, no doubt about that. In terms of this game, I just thought goals, just screen goals to me. Brentford, last 10 games, both teams have scored in them. Not keeping as many clean sheets, I suppose, is what Thomas Frank would like, but they are a threat going forward. So, yeah, I was expecting goals, but that is, yeah, it's pretty short price for both teams to score over 2.5. So I've had a dart on the 2-2 correct score around about 12-1.
Okay, well, the next of the 3 o'clock kickoffs is at Selhurst Park. It's Crystal Palace against Fulham. Palace 8-5, the draw 5-2, Fulham 13-8. And as we said about Brentford maybe being dented in confidence, Mark, Fulham will be full of it following that late victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Harry Wilson magic, sort of, you know, winning a derby, winning any game like that, but winning a derby, you know, two goals in injury time is special. Fulham are second in the expected points table. So you've got to give big credit to Marco Silva, who had an opportunity, didn't he, with Everton, who at the time was seen as sort of that bigger club, and it didn't work out for him, but he's done well everywhere else, really. So, fully respect Fulham, and I think Dan might give the reasons to why he fancies Fulham in a minute, but I still felt that Crystal Palace draw no bet was okay. I thought they would have been sort of clear favourites at home to win this game. Palace's sort of results have just picked up recently, beat a admittedly much changed Aston Villa, but they still beat them. Saw the game against Spurs, was impressed with their physicality in that, then went to Wolves and got a sort of battling 2-2 draw. So, yeah, that's the reason why I've gone for Palace, but I'll let Dan explain why he's going for Fulham.
Yeah, go on, Dan, fire away.
Yeah, going to go with Fulham on the draw, no bet, to give, you know, the alternative angle. Fulham, I was really impressed, actually, with that performance against Brentford. Although the goals came late, the fact they just kept playing the same way, lots of intensity, never let their heads drop, were absolutely relentless, I thought. And that was a brilliant finish by Wilson, the first goal that made the difference. I thought over the whole game, they were well worthy of the 3 points. A worry for them going forward, as I've mentioned many times before, I'm not sure they've got the attacking quality at the top end that some of the, you know, a lot of the other teams in the Premier League have got. But the general intensity they play at and the quality, I think, will be a little bit too much for Palace, who are carrying a lot of injuries at the moment. Eze, Lerma, Walton injured. Will Hughes has picked up a suspension with his booking at Wolves. That was the Wolves game away was a big chance for him to win a game. Couldn't get over the line. So I think Fulham, even though it's at home, is potentially tougher. Fulham for me.
Another London-based game on Saturday sees West Ham up against Everton. The Hammers 23-20. Everton 5-2 to claim the victory, and it's 12-5 the draw. Everton, just as they seem like they're getting on a bit of a roll down and moving away from trouble, they'll find themselves with a disappointing result, and they're now facing a West Ham team who are unpredictable at best.
Yeah, I mean, Everton will be disappointed with that result at Southampton. It caught us sort of hinged on one moment, didn't it? Where, you know, they almost scored and then Southampton went up the other end and nicked the game. If you look overall at that match, they probably had the better of the chances, Everton. And it doesn't change the fact that, you know, they have improved you know, quite a bit since the early part of the season when they kept going one and off and two goals in front and finding ways to lose. West Ham, I thought they would be improving, you know, by now and moving forward. Mm-hmm. I've got to say that Forest result was really dreadful. However, the markets, I think, are kind of moving, you know, in an anti-West Ham way. Their odds against here, which kind of suggests that the markets think West Ham and Everton are of even ability. Well, okay, I mean, maybe at the moment they're playing, you know, in a similar kind of... I'm not convinced. I wouldn't be back in Everton at fairly short odds. They've won one away match this year. That was against Ipswich. So I'm going to go with a draw. I think it'd be a tight game draw for me.
Is it fair to say, Mark, if West Ham were to lose this game, Lopetegui's under real danger with the international break being on the horizon?
I think he's under big pressure if they don't win the game. You know, West Ham fans are not having him at all. I don't think his football is that different, really, from David Moyes. It's like David Moyes' football going forward, but you know, without the good stuff defensively at the moment. That being said, there's a lot of negativity around West Ham, and Dan's mentioned it in the betting. But I just think that West Ham are better than Everton, and therefore, like 11 to 10 sort of stood out to me as worthy of a bet for the Hammers. It is one that you have to close your eyes a touch because it doesn't feel right to be having the bet. But I am looking at it from a longer term point of view. And then if you wanted to be kind of positive for West Ham, you look at their home form. They beat Bournemouth, they beat Ipswich, they beat Man United. I know the United result was lucky. Three games they've lost, Aston Villa, Man City and Chelsea. I think West Ham would lose those games more often than not anyway. They're against three, you know, I've already spoken about how good City are and Chelsea and Villa in the Champions League. So those three defeats, you know, let's put it this way, Everton are not at that level. So this is more in keeping with the games they've won.
Molineux is the venue for the final game of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Wolves against Southampton, huge at the bottom end of the table. Wolves odds on at 19 to 20 to collect the win here. Saints 27 to 10 and the draw 11 to 4. You mentioned the battling draw, Mark, with Wolves and Palace last time out. I just wonder, you know, Wolves will be kicking themselves that they didn't claim their first victory of the season in that one.
Yeah, it starts to become a concern, doesn't it, really, when you keep kicking yourself. It can be quite painful. And Wolves have done it more than once this season. I'm going to give them one more chance. I mean, I might say the same thing again after the international break. But I think they are better than the league table suggests. I think that they've had a horrendous run of fixtures. Now, they haven't started to win the easier ones, that has to be said. But this is their best sort of chance of getting that win. I'm not mad on Southampton. Dan mentioned that sort of mad minute in the game at St Mary's where potentially Everton could have won it and in the end they ended up losing it. But I've got Wolves down. It's sort of looking at it from a longer term point of view. I've got Wolves down as a fair bit better than Southampton. I just hope confidence hasn't been damaged enough. I fancy Wolves here.
Are you of a similar thought, Dan?
I think, hand on heart, that Wolves will probably finish higher over the course of the season. However, I just think the confidence issue is major at the moment. They had that tough start, but they lost, you know, most of the games. And now, as Mark mentions, they've been getting easier fixtures. Brentford away was a game they would have looked to and thought we can take something out of this. Then Palace at home. Palace, I mentioned the injuries. Most of those players were injured last week as well. Mm. It was a great opportunity for them to get a result. And I thought Palace actually had the better chances and would be more frustrated not to win that game. So that would be a major concern for me. And Southampton, as much as I don't rate them, when you've been a while without a win, however it comes, it's going to be a huge boost to them. Last recent away games have not been as bad as well. We went to Man City, didn't play too badly, played pretty well for long periods of the game away to Arsenal. So I just think there's a few little recent green shoots for Southampton and I'll be taking them to get at least a point here at Wolves.
OK, so no lunchtime game, as we say, on Saturday, but there are two evening matches starting at 5:30 when Brighton and Manchester City do battle at the Amex. Brighton 100-30, City 8-11. It's 16-5, the draw. Manchester City have complained about injuries. It's hard to be too sympathetic with the squad that they've got at the moment, Dan, but it's certainly having an impact in terms of the recent performances.
It is. I just think the market's moved enough to actually back them in this game. I'm looking at the the three games, the Spurs game in the cup, they had injuries going into it, but he also did, you know, leave a lot of players out. So he didn't actually play that badly for spells of it as well. The Bournemouth game, they were poor, got what they deserved. The Sporting game, again, I think was a little bit, they took it more seriously than Spurs, but I think if it was a massive game that you needed to win to go through, I think they'd have gone stronger. I think they'll have a stronger team for this game at Brighton. You had Walker was on the bench, Aki was on the bench. I think at least one of those two will come into the side to stiffen up the defensive side of it. They've still got a lot of great attacking players in the side, and Brighton have had a good start to the season, but the last Premier League home game, they drew 2-2 at home to Wolves. They've also drawn at home to Ipswich this season. I'm not completely sold on them at home. So City, for me, the price has moved enough out to back them to win.
Yeah, I watched Brighton at Liverpool last week, Mark. They deserved to be in front, I have to say, at Anfield. But then when Liverpool got on top, they found it hard to get out of their own defensive third. Are they going to have a similar situation on Saturday?
They might do, but I just wonder about City at the moment. I'm going to go for Brighton. I don't think it's a game I'll be having a bet in myself. So it's just one of them that if you are looking for a bet, my suggestion would be to go for the home win here. I thought Brighton played very well for an hour at Anfield. And as you say, definitely the first half, they were, you know, probably unlucky not to be two goals ahead, and then it looks a completely different game. Just don't think Man City look right. And this isn't even down to the last three games that they've lost. Fulham ran them ragged at times, didn't they? And were creating a lot of opportunities. Even Wolves, it needed a header with virtually last touch of the game to beat a team that was sort of bottom of the table. So obviously Rodri's a massive loss for them, and they just don't seem to be able to stem the flow of attacks against them, or certainly when teams attack them, they seem to just be presented with really big opportunities at the moment. So interesting to see how it goes. I think it's going to be a great Saturday night with the game we're about to talk about with Liverpool against Villa as well. So I expect it to be a really good game, one that I'd probably rather watch than bet on. But if you do want to have a punt, I'd be edging towards Brighton.
Interesting. I was just looking at the stats earlier. In Brighton's last five home games in all competitions, there's been four or more goals. So we might get a bit of a goal fest on Saturday tea time. Mark's already mentioned there, of course, there is a game at 8 o'clock as well at Anfield. Liverpool against Aston Villa. Liverpool 4-9, the draw 4-1, Villa 21-4. I'm not sure how much we can read into the midweek action, Mark, bearing in mind Villa made a whole raft of changes for their game in the Champions League.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like Onana, particularly in midfield, I think a very influential player for them, and there'll be a different back four in places as well, won't they? So and hopefully from Aston Villa's point of view, one of their centre backs won't pick the ball up, just inside the penalty area to give away a goal. But I still felt that they lost that sort of game against Club Brugge, not only 1-0 in the game, but it was 7-1 shots on target. And apart from that Watkins early dig that went just wide, I can't even remember Villa creating a chance in the match. So that you can make changes, you can lose the game, they're still in a good position. But following on from sort of the 4-1 against Tottenham, you felt like there might have been a reaction. They also went out of the League Cup, he made a load of changes in that as well. But all of a sudden, it could be four defeats in a row if they lose at Anfield. And that sort of just sends your season into a real negative, doesn't it? And a couple of weeks ago, we were saying how well Villa are doing. I expect Villa to be quite defensive at Anfield. I think they'll go there to frustrate. They might be able to do that for 45 minutes. But as Liverpool showed against Leverkusen and against Brighton, they don't have to start well to win games. And when the goals come, they tend to come in clusters. So I'm going to go for draw half-time, Liverpool full-time.
I wonder whether Unai Emre will be a bit concerned, Dan, with how they just capitulated in the second half at Tottenham. That's just not like his teams.
No, it's not. I don't think it's something that's going to, you know, be a long-term issue for them. He's just such a... I really rate him as a manager. I think he gets his team so well organised. Initially, when I looked at the prices here, the first thought is 4-9 Liverpool, that is just way too short, and you're kind of thinking about, you know, to get against them. But a lot of the things that Mark's mentioned, that the timing to play Spurs on the Sunday, lose 4-1, and then you've got the Bruges game midweek. This is the third game in 7 days this third away game in 7 days as well. It's a tough schedule for them for this game. Liverpool played a day earlier, had that excellent win against Leverkusen, didn't rest everybody as well. Villa, you've got McGinn, Tielemans, Rogers, Watkins, all those started against Spurs. So there could be a few leggy players there, tired legs and minds. So hand on heart, I think they'll. I agree with Mark. I think Villa will maybe start the game strong and well organised, as Emery's sides normally are. But I just think eventually Liverpool will have a bit too much. I don't think there'll be a lot of goals. So I'm going to go Liverpool and under 3.5 goals to boost the price.
OK, well, that is Saturday's matches covered. We've already talked, of course, about the big game on Sunday, Chelsea against Arsenal. But there are three other matches to look forward to on Sunday. And we'll start off at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Leicester. United 4-11, the draw 9-2, Leicester as big as 13-2. These two, of course, met in the EFL Cup recently when United won by 5-2. We expecting Ruud van Nistelrooy to potentially go out with a bang over the next couple of weeks before Amorim takes over, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly, there's been a little bit of a weight lifted, I think, since Ten Hag has gone, which is, not unusual. I think, players in that situation when the manager's under pressure, it just heaps a little bit of extra pressure on the players as well. So there's been a little bit of a release. I mean, they weren't, scintillating against Chelsea, but you have to factor in that it's a tough opposition as well. So that can be the case. I mean, Liverpool, when they played at home to Chelsea, didn't look amazing, did they? I do think, as you mentioned, in the cup game, they beat Leicester 5-2. There were loads of chances at both ends in that game. And I can see this game being quite lively as well. Van Nistelrooy wanting to play attacking football. I'm going to go with Man United to win and both teams to score. Don't forget Leicester at the moment has scored in every Premier League game.
Of course, we were speaking before Manchester United faced Pauk in the Europa League, I should say, on Thursday. Mark, would that extra game have any bearing on your thoughts for the Leicester match?
Not really, because you're at home, you're going to be strong favourites. So, United actually have got the ability to be able to change a few players around. I'm not even sure what their kind of best 11 is yet. So, I don't... It's not like, say, we're going to talk about Tottenham later on and they've got a trip to Istanbul to take on Galatasaray. So that would be more of an impact. For this game, I was looking at Bruno Fernandes, first goal scorer. He's had 14 shots in his last three games. That's before the Payok match that comes up on Thursday. So he seems to be taking on more responsibility. Finally got his first Premier League goal of the campaign. And sort of the floodgates should start opening for him. And he's certainly buying enough lottery tickets at the moment. He's he's having pops from everywhere.
Yeah, he scored twice against them in the EFL Cup as well. So maybe Bruno Fernandes back to form. Nottingham Forest against Newcastle is up next. Another 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Forest 7-4 to claim another victory. Newcastle 8-5 and the draw 23-10. Just where can Forest go this season, Mark? At the moment, they continue to impress us.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe top four, then win the European Cup. It'd be like having Brian Clough back in charge. It's been a fantastic sort of start to the season. They had, on paper, a nice run of early home fixtures, but not only that, is it? Because they went to Chelsea, got a good point, went to Anfield and won. So everybody's buying into what Nuno's sort of all about at the moment. It does become a different game, though, as you sort of teams start to give you more respect. So I don't expect sort of Newcastle to suddenly say to your Hudson-Odoi, Morgan Gibbs-White, Langer, have loads of space in behind us. I expect Newcastle to go and sort of respect what Forest have done, and therefore it might be a more difficult, a sort of tricky game for the tricky trees, if you like. So I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals in this one. If you have a look at sort of the goals against Colham, Forest have only conceded 7. And Newcastle are only 10. So it's just Liverpool that have got a better defensive record than these two at the moment. So with two strong defences, might cancel each other out a bit.
There's a few questions being asked about Eddie Howe, but it always seems to be that Newcastle come up with an answer in a big game, Dan, as they did against Arsenal last time. Can they back it up this weekend?
Yeah, their home form, as usual, is bailing them out. I mean, I generally... you're tempted to get against them when they're away from home. But I looked at the prices and, similar prices for both teams. I agree with Mark. I think it'll be quite a tight game, fine margins. Newcastle will be boosted by that win over Arsenal. It was a big, big moment for them. And they'll go there in good spirits. Forest, I mean, they're having a fantastic start. But you have got to remember, it's quite a small sample size at the moment, 10 games in a 38-game season. Do I think they'll finish above Newcastle over 38 games? Probably not. So that kind of leads into my tip here. I think a tight game. I'm going to go for the draw.
OK, well, last but not least, Tottenham against Ipswich is another 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Spurs 2-9, the draw 6-1, and Ipswich 10-1 to claim the points. As an outsider, Dan, looking in from that Villa game at the weekend, it looked like it might be a turning point for Tottenham this season, maybe. That just the fact that it was against one of those teams in the top four and they sort of bounced back in good style. Do you think that that's the same amongst the Tottenham faithful at the minute?
I don't. Spurs have had so many games that you know, people say that they're turning points this season, and they've generally been at home, haven't they? They had the one away win against Manchester United, but it's the theme with Spurs has been excellent at home and really flaky, you know, generally away from home. Now this game's at home, so I think that even with the trip to Galatasaray before isn't ideal, I do think that Ange will probably make wholesale changes, though. I mean, his ability to do that's a little bit constrained because you've got, certainly at the back with, you know, Romero not travelling, Van der Ven still out, you're kind of wondering, does he even rest Dragusin for that game, you know, to keep him, you know, available for the weekend? But I think even if another centre-back gets injured, I just think that Spurs will have enough about them going forward to win this game against Ipswich. Ipswich, that to concede that late goal against Leicester last week, such a massive blow for them. Again, still winless. Don't see them getting their first win at Spurs. I'm going to boost the price. I'm going to say Spurs to win and both teams to score. Tottenham generally concede.
I did love Ange's reaction to being asked about taking Son off Mark at the weekend. I mean, Son looked apoplectic that he was being taken off, and he went, well, it was always the plan to do it anyway, but just having him back in the side is going to, you know, boost Tottenham going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sublime cross, wasn't it, for Brennan Johnson's equaliser, and the game turned really with that goal. I do agree that it was a big moment, because if Villa win, they're 8 points clear of Tottenham. Spurs come back and there's 2 points. They've got the trip to Anfield. Tottenham have got Ipswich at home. They could be above Villa, you know, but by the end of the weekend, this weekend, and it just goes to show sort of what a big 3 points it was. I think there might be the odd nervy moment here just because of that trip to Istanbul on Thursday. I'm going to go for Liam Delap to score. He's got 5 in his last 8, and Tottenham with Romero, a big doubt. I don't expect him to play, and Van der Ven looking certain to be out. They don't keep many clean sheets anyway, so fancy Ipswich to score, and if they score, it'll probably be Delap.
OK, well, that is the Premier League covered then for this week. Up next, it's the EFL. OK, well, before we look at the match in focus, there's been some big news in the EFL today, because we've seen Mark Robins lose his job as Coventry manager. And, well, bearing in mind what he's done with that football team down in recent years, it just seems like a really strange decision.
Yeah, incredible decision, really. I mean, you've only got to go back to the weekend. They were winning 3-0 at Middlesbrough, you know, and looked like they were turning things around. They've had quite a few slow starts of seasons before Coventry. They tend to start slowly and then pick up as the campaign goes on. I mean, I watched them a few times this season. When they played Spurs in the Cup, they were absolutely outstanding as well in that game. Played some great football. And like you said, Warren, the job he's done there has been amazing, and he's going to be very, very hard to follow.
He is indeed. Well, two other teams that have changed their managers not long ago meet in our match in focus in League One. Burton against Shrewsbury is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Burton really struggling at the wrong end of the table down at the moment. They desperately need a result.
These are both in deep trouble, aren't they? I mean, Burton have had a massive overhaul in the summer. I think, I'm not sure on the exact numbers, but they were well into double figures, the amount of players that they brought in. Mark Robinson come in as a manager, wanted to change the style of play as well, to go to a more possession-based attacking style. Hasn't worked. They were shipping lots and lots of goals and weren't scoring enough to outscore sides. And they're still winless, played cruelly. at home in the week, you know, a massive game, drew that 1-0, started well, didn't finish actually that well. And Shrewsbury have also now sacked their manager. Paul Hurst went after the FA Cup, the 2-1 loss away to Salford. Which of these has got a better chance to stay up? I would say they'll probably both go down, but I think Shrewsbury have got the better chance because their squad wasn't completely overhauled in the summer. Hurst had done an okay job keeping them up last year, and there's more, I would say, to build on. They've won a couple of games against teams around them. They won away to Crawley, won 3-0 at home to Leighton Orient as well. So they've won a couple of games already, Shrewsbury, against teams in and around them. Not enough to get out of the position they're in. I think this is another game, actually, against a team in and around them that they could probably win. And I think Hurst actually was quite... His second stint at Shrewsbury, he was quite popular among the fans there, despite being sacked. So I think this will be their response, and they'll go to Burton and win.
Okay, well, Burton, by the way, 6-5.
Sorry to mention, Warren, just to spell out the bet is Shrewsbury draw no bet, because I think the draw is also a big runner.
No worries. Well, Burton 6-5 to claim the victory. It's 12-5 the draw, and 21-10 Shrewsbury, who have had European football on their pitch this season, as TNS have been using that for their Conference League games this season. But the main focus on League One this weekend is their trip to Burton. We'll turn our attentions to Dan's three selections across the EFL now. And which one are we starting with, Dan?
I just gave a mention to Crawley's result there, the midweek 0-0 draw at Burton. I think they'll be reasonably happy with that, but I don't see them winning at the weekend against Huddersfield. I think Huddersfield will go to Crawley and win. Michael Duff, their manager, was absolutely furious when they lost 1-0 at Tamworth in the FA Cup. They put out quite a strong side there, Huddersfield. I think this will be the backlash, if you like. They have won, they got 10 points from their last four in the league since a narrow 1-0 loss at Birmingham, Huddersfield. So their league form's actually been improved. I think there'll be contenders. A load of teams, I think, will contend for maybe to finish second to Birmingham, you know, in the automatic promotion race. Huddersfield will be one of them. Crawley, they'll be really, really struggling. One win in the last 12 league games. That got that 0-0 draw at Burton. Don't think they'll get anything against Huddersfield. Following on from that, I'm going to go with... This one will raise a few eyebrows in League Two. I'm going to go with Carlisle to avoid defeat away to Salford. I mean, Carlisle was second from bottom. They've been in free fall for a long time, relegated from League One last season. Terrible start to League Two this season. But one of your jobs as a better is to try and find when the tide's going to turn and get ahead of the curve. I think it'll be at Salford this weekend. In the FA Cup last weekend against Wigan, they lost 2-0 after extra time, Carlisle, but the performance was way, way, way better. They had Ethan Robson was sent off after 14 minutes, and they were superb after that, stayed in the game, created chances and went out in the end, but were a real good performance. They are getting players back from injury, so there's reasons behind it. Callum Guy, midfield player that could probably hold his own a level higher. He's been getting fitter. Dan Adu Adjei, I think I've got his name right, on loan from Bournemouth. He was the bright earlier in the season. He's just come back from injury as well. And they're against the Salford side who've got two big players suspended. Ben Woodburn and Kelly and Mai both suspended. So I think Carlisle, they're packing out the away end. Apparently they've sold out the away end. I think they'll get at least a draw away to Salford. Finishing off in the same league, going to go with Bradford to win away to Fleetwood. Bradford seventh, going really well. 10 points from the last five games. Beat Aldershot 3-1 in the FA Cup. And a good time for them to play Fleetwood, who are down in 15th place. No win in five games, lost in the FA Cup 2-0 to a very youthful Reading side. Got a lot of injuries at the back at the moment as well. We're Adu, one of those injured players who's their captain for Fleetwood. So I think that Fleetwood, good time to play them, Bradford to win that game.
Okay, it's a Northern treble from Dan this week in the EFL. Huddersfield, Carlisle double chance and Bradford are the selections. And we're going to turn our attentions now to Mark's best bets of the weekend. And we'll start with the Bet Builder. Mark, what are we looking at in terms of the Bet Builder match this week?
Yeah, going to Anfield, Liverpool against Villa Saturday night. I know not all travelling fans like a Saturday night kickoff, but I'm really looking forward to this one at 8 o'clock. I do think, though, that most of the goals will come late, so you might want to watch Strictly first and then you can get into the action in the Premier League. So I'm going to go for the second half to have the most goals. Then I'm also going to go for Liverpool to win the most corners. They've had the fourth most in the Premier League so far, 62. Villa are in the bottom half, if you like, of the corners one table. They're down in 13th. Don't play with much wit, Villa. They're very good when they actually get the corners, but they don't get too many of them. And then to round it all up, under four cards, Villa have had only 24 yellows this season. Liverpool have had only 21. So it might not be a dirty game. I'm expecting the action to come late.
So that is Mark's bet builder for the week. And of course, he always gives us a prop shop suggestion as well. And which match is this coming in, Mark?
I'm going in the Brighton versus City game. Kadiolu, who scored at Anfield, I was a bit annoyed. This is going to sound like massive after timing, but he's recently moved from left back to right midfielder in the Brighton team. So there's a reason why his productivity in terms of attacking numbers might be sort of catching bookmakers slightly by surprise at the moment. I fancy him to have a shot on target. He obviously had one at Anfield, but he's somebody that dazzled in the Euros from left back, but he can play in midfield as well. And as he showed at Anfield, he's got a decent dig on him, and City have been vulnerable to counter-attack. So Kadiolu to have a shot on target.
OK, we will then move on to the assist treble this week. One selection from myself, Mark and Dan. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first.
Yeah, going to go with that Huddersfield bet in League One away to Crawley. I mean, Huddersfield had four clean sheets in five before that awful loss to Tamworth. I think they'll be refocused again against Crawley, who could be a little bit tired after putting a lot into that midweek, that key match, that 0-0 draw away to Burton.
And your selection, Mark?
I'm going for Wolves to beat Southampton. Wolves' big Achilles heels this season has been set pieces. Happened a couple of times, didn't it, against Palace last week. Southampton not known really for their set piece authority. So hopefully they won't be able to sort of concede from dead balls. And I think from open play, Wolves are really not as bad as the table suggests. So I'm going for Wanderers to finally get that elusive first Premier League win.
I'm going into League One, and it's a big price as well. 29-20, I'm going for Wickham to win it at Wigan. They've gone top of the table of Wickham in League One after their 5-0 thumping of Stockport away from home in midweek. They've now won five in a row in the league and are unbeaten in 11. In contrast, Wigan not won any of their last four in League One. They're down in 19th place. And as Dan already mentioned earlier on, they needed extra time to beat 10 men, League Two, Carlisle in the FA Cup last week. There's a bit of pressure on Sean Maloney at the moment at Wigan, and I think Wickham, in the form that they're in, can go to the DW Stadium and win. So just to confirm again, Huddersfield, Wolves and Wickham are the assist treble this week. And we'll conclude with the naps. Mark, we'll start with your nap.
Under 2.5 goals, Nottingham Forest against Newcastle. Forest got the second best XG in the Premier League at the moment, so it's not a fluke that they've been so tight at the back. But surely Chris Wood can't keep on scoring.
Dan, what about your nap?
Bradford to win away to Fleetwood in League Two. I mean, they generally rely on their home form, Bradford, but they're unbeaten in their last three away. Got a great chance against Fleetwood, who they've not had a league win since the unbelievable 6-2 success at Walsall on October 1st. So they're going for a really bad run, Fleetwood.
OK, well, big thanks to Mark and Dan for all their info and tips this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. We do like to see your comments on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And if you like your golf, then make sure you watch the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer every Tuesday. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. It's International Week next week, of course. But in the meantime, enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.